Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Goddess Alive Radio. Happy Thursday. Happy week. Happy waxing moon. And happy almost Valentine's Day. So this is Kimberly Moore. I am the founder and priestess of Mother House of the Goddess and your humble hostess this evening. We are getting ready for a very special guest, Priestess Brandi Ossett, who is going to be with us in a few minutes. And we are going to be talking about everything love, because it's that time of year. And actually, there is some mythological precedence for that time of year. So we're going to be talking about that as well. Of course, let me go ahead and do our housekeeping before we bring our wonderful guest on. There are tons and tons and tons of courses that have launched this month. February is a very busy month for Mystery School of the Goddess. So I invite you to hop over to mysteryschoolofthegoddess.net and take a look at some of the gorgeous, gorgeous offerings. In fact, one of them is by Brandi Ossett, our priestess guest this evening, called Invoking the Love Goddesses, which is one of the reasons that we have her on this evening. So it is a gorgeous, gorgeous course. I have seen it and plundered the love fest that is Invoking the Love Goddesses course. So I highly recommend it. And when we talk about love, we're talking about a whole range of love. So, you know, if you've got a little bit of bitter in your love cup, like me, just saying, okay, maybe a little bit. So there's a whole range of love out there that you can open your heart to. It doesn't just have to mean one kind. I also would like to delightedly announce that the Kuan Yin Revealed course with myself and Cindy Boucher has launched. It is an online course exploring and becoming the goddess of compassion, our bodhisattva of mercy, Kuan Yin. Talking about her very own special brand of love. So we also have, and I'm just realizing too, we've got so many love themes going on. Love Magic of the Goddess with Renee Starr, Happily Ever After, about the beloved partnership by Laurie Ann Lumbee. In the highest, most fun tradition of Mardi Gras, Normandy Ellis is covering off, ooh, as I can speak tonight, covering off the Blessing of the Fleets by the goddess Isis is her topic for the Feast of Light this month. So many cool things going on. Of course, we kicked off the beginning of the month with Weaving the Protection of Breed with Jude Lally. So all of these courses, the really cool part is that they are self-paced. Self-paced and self-guided. I'm going to take a sip of tea because I think, you know, talking about love goddesses, the goddess Lakshmi started bouncing on my head at about 4:30 this morning. So quite obviously my throat chakra needs a little bit of a break. All right, we're going to refresh it with some lovely raspberry passion tea in honor of Lakshmi. And let's see. And I will also, one more little bit of housekeeping, I will send you over to motherhouseofthegoddess.com, which of course has all of the gorgeous, gorgeous content that has been rolled out by our gorgeous contributors in the past week or two. So I think that's about it, you know, other than to say I'm sitting here staring at a bowl. Talk about Lakshmi bouncing on my head at 4:30 this morning. And one of the reasons maybe is because the other day, the orange aura rose quartz popped into the house, into Mother House, and in a delivery. And I have to tell you, it's some of the most gorgeous stuff I've ever seen. I think Lakshmi was coveting it. So what I will also tell you is that if you'd like to see a picture of it, you can go to Instagram.com/motherhouseofthegoddess. And take a peek, because we're all there. Yes, Mother House on Instagram. It's so fun. Okay. Phew. Okay, we're going to give my throat a break. We're going to let Brandi Ossett, priestess, teacher, marvelous, marvelous guide in sacred sensuality and sexuality, do some talking. I would like to also direct you to BrandiOssett.com, AUSET.com. For all the goodies. And when I talk about all the goodies, I mean, you click on that red holistic link, because Brandy is one of the most awesome creatrixes of the goddess myths that we carry in Goddess Shop, and she has all kinds of goodies there. And I'm talking about everything from yoni eggs to crystals to myths to readings. So, you know, it is like a little goddess bazaar going on there. And, you know, a souk. I love souks. I cannot have an urge to go to the souk and get some silk scarves. Let's get Brandy on and talk about that. It must be the influence of the love goddesses. Brandy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hey.
I quite obviously am pumpy from being up very early this morning. So I thought, good grief, I better bring you on. How are you, darling?
I'm doing well this evening. How are you?
I'm good. I got to watch our gorgeous crescent moon hanging in the evening sky. It was really beautiful. And, you know, so all goddess, all good stuff, ready for the love fest. Yay!
Yay, love fest. Yeah, I'm just starting to get that crescent moon rising. I'm just getting a sunset over here, so...
Yeah.
It's a
pretty
beautiful day.
it's
a pretty day in LA today, which is rare.
I was going to say, it's like we've traded places. You know, you're having all that weather, and we're having all this cool weather down here in South Florida. Not that I'm complaining. Not at all. So. Oh, can you hear me?
Yep, there you are. You got me?
Oh, yeah, I got you. Yeah,
okay.
I heard a beep, and then everything kind of went wonky for a sec.
I had the same thing. Okay.
Okay. I swear, Murphy is still peeking his head around here and there.
Yeah, I've been getting little tidbits of that, too, but I think we'll be okay.
Yeah.
If I disappear for a second, I'll totally come back. But there seems to be a little... A couple of technical snafus happening over here, but for the moment, yay, I'm here.
Good. Well, for our guests, and I want to say hello and thank you to all of our guests. I see we have a bunch of call-ins on the board. So I just wanted to ask you if you could give us a little bit of background, you know, in your relationship with Goddess and being a priestess, you know, and just share that for some of our new listeners.
Okay. Well, my relationship with Goddess started when I was a teenager, about 15 or 16 is really when the Goddess found me and claimed me. And Kali Ma was the first goddess that I identified in my head, which has, you know, made for a very adventurous life. But as soon as I recognized that, that's what it was, and I met some amazing women, goddess women, Wiccan, you know, ancient Kemet practitioners, a little bit of everybody, and just started asking questions. And so around the time I was 18 or 19, I was being ordained as a high priestess, and I've pretty much done that work ever since. And so it's always funny because people ask me what I do, and I always stumble because there's so many branches and levels of it where I'm just like, yeah, I'm a high priestess. There we go. So, you know, I've done I do energy work and massage. I'm a Reiki master teacher. I'm trained as an aromatherapist, a spiritual counselor, an interfaith minister. I'm an intuitive reader. And I'm also an author and a writer of spirituality, of goddess fiction, but I also do a little bit of poetry, a little dark fiction as well. So I kind of just peek out all over the place. But all of it is goddess-centered, is spirituality-centered. And the love aspect, I suppose, has always been there. The sensuality aspect has definitely always been there, and the sexuality aspect of it. But it's just really within the last decade that the focus of my practice has moved into sacred sensuality, sacred sexuality. And I suppose we could say tantric to a certain extent. It's certainly something that I've studied, but I can't call myself a tantric practitioner because I'm really a little bit too eclectic, and I'm just very goddess-centered on it. As far as the divine feminine goes, so the type of sacred sensuality, sacred sexuality that I teach is divine feminine centered in a divinity sense, where I go through the goddess and the different branches of her, the different aspects of her, to tap into my own divinity. If that makes sense.
Absolutely, it does. Mm. And I'd like to let our listeners know, too, if you'd like to get to know Brandy, she and Goddess Tracy Gibbons have a wonderful course on Mystery School. It's free, called Intro to Sacred Sexual Wellness, which kind of gives you a little bit of an introduction and exploration. And, you know, we have to talk about yoni eggs because they're so eternally fascinating to me.
And that, they're fascinating to a lot of people. They're like, you want me to put that where? Like,
but you do quite a booming business with your yoni eggs. So can you just give us a little bit of insight about why somebody would want to use a yoni egg? What are the healing practices that this is, that these are for?
Okay. Well, there's, you know, a yoni egg is essentially a crystal. It is a crystal, a gemstone that is shaped like an egg. And your yoni is your genitals, your vagina, your, I was about to get really vulgar, but. It's like your vajayjay. Totally, we'll do that. So the egg is, it is a sacred sensuality practice, but it has spiritual implications, and it has physical implications as well. So on the physical side of it, it is something that helps tone your vagina, gain the strength in your muscles and your walls after childbirth, and it helps with basic sexuality in the sense of learning exactly how your yoni works, what the muscles are doing, how to tighten, how to release. It helps with bladder control when you're getting older. So it has a lot of, excuse me, you there?
Uh-huh, a lot of applications.
Sorry.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sorry, there was that beeping again that happened. So there's a lot of different physical aspects that it happens. But in my practice and the way that I approach yoni eggs is really having to do with more with the spiritual aspect of it, of taking crystal healing and the properties involved, introducing them into the root chakra, introducing them into your basic energy flow. So, and a lot of people will ask, you know, exactly what is a yoni egg? It's a tool that's used for healing. It's metaphysical expansion. And the easiest way that I've learned to describe it is it's a kind of natural spiritual alternative to using a Benoit ball. You know, the egg shape is actually better suited to the body. And on the spiritual side, it's the cosmic egg. When we start looking into goddesses like Shakti or Kali or Inotar, you know, there's a lot of different goddess myths and motifs when it comes to the cosmic egg shape of the universe hatching, you know, existence hatching from this egg. So when you use the yoni egg, you're actually inserting it into the vagina and doing a series of Kegel exercises. You're contracting and releasing. And so the Kegel exercise, it boosts, it strengthens your pelvic floor, encourages bladder control. It helps with lubrication if that's something that you have an issue with. And it increases your sensitivity in that entire genital area. And also, you know, the longer you practice, it opens up the sensitivity in the rest of your body just because you become so much more aware of what your nerves are doing, what your muscles are doing, what everything is moving and flowing with. So with that, it enhances sexual pleasure. It enhances sensual pleasure, whether or not you have a partner. Mentally, it's an amazing practice because, one, again, it's connecting you stronger and harder and cleaner with your body. Like you are suddenly much more aware of what's going on. And I find the use of a yoni actually induces a nice meditative state. Because when you're going through the practice and you're doing the Kegel exercises, one of the things that I teach is how to control your breathing while you're doing the Kegel exercise. So it is something that can enhance your meditations. But spiritually, it's awakening your Kundalini energy. It's awakening that root chakra and shooting everything straight up your spine. So with the use of the yoni egg, you're actually giving your, I mean, you can sit and do the Kegel on its own, and it's absolutely beneficial. But with the induction of the yoni egg, you learn how to actually feel the muscles in your, it's like kind of using a weight, you know, you're giving your yoni something to contract around and tighten and release and tighten and release around. So they're kind of addictive. You know, and everybody's like, well, do I need more than one yoni egg? And it's like, no, you know, they come in different sizes. They come in different gemstones. One of the main things I really focus on with the yoni egg use is one, to be sure that the yoni egg you're using is, that the crystal, that the gemstone is safe for insertion, that it's safe for internal use, because not all crystals are safe. Right. Either. You know, there are a lot of crystals that are heavy in sulfur, they're heavy in copper and iron and a bunch of things you actually wouldn't want in your system. So one of the main things is to do the actual, like, you know, scientific research on the gemstone that you choose for your yoni egg. But you also want to choose an egg that metaphysically, spiritually, is going to align with what it is that you need. So, you know, there's rose quartz eggs, there's obsidian, the green adventurine, the jaspers, and each one of these crystals has its own energy, its own property to it. So for me, I started with a rose quartz yoni egg. And
beautiful.
Yeah. It started with, I don't know, I guess it started with a, you know, in a way where a lot of women start. Well, at least me. I know a lot of priestesses, a lot of sensuality priestesses. And to be perfectly blunt and frank, and it was like, I want my yoni to be the tightest, wettest thing that anybody has ever come across. So how can I do that? And that's what I want. And I started looking and researching and ran across the yoni egg practice and started talking to people and gathering more and more information. So the first yoni egg I ever had was a rose quartz one, because when I looked into it and I was like, okay, so the Kegel exercise is going to help. I am getting older, so tightening my vaginal walls, you know, dryness is an issue, sensitivity, need to strengthen the pelvis, all those things I needed. You know, I knew that I was, you know, the older I get, the more I'm going to need them. But when I started dealing with myself in an emotional sense, I understood that the connection between my yoni and my heart, my yoni and my emotions, my yoni and the love that I had for myself. And I had to go through my entire past history and think about pretty much every man and every woman that I had ever been with and why I chose them. And why I was allowing those people into my body. And sometimes that answer was because, you know, I was feeling lonely and I felt, you know, the need to be loved. And it's like, dude, sometimes I would think, I was like, wow, I didn't even like him. Why did I let him touch me? And it's like, but I started liking, you know, and then I just like the math. And I'm like, but I started liking him after I let him touch me. And so I really had to start looking at that connection between, you know, and I think every woman has had that experience where you fell in love with the sex, you fell in love with the emotion, not necessarily the person, but with the sensations that were brought up during an encounter. And I realized that I had a lot of issues to heal there. I had a lot of issues to heal with what I thought was love and was lust. And when I started looking at yoni eggs, it seemed like, okay, well, one, definitely obsidian, because it's going to clean out all of the, those negative attachments that I'm doing. I said, but I didn't think I was ready for the obsidian yet, because I was so unused to the idea of being loved and being touched at the same time. They were, it was what I wanted, but in my experience, they were two completely different things. You have sex to get off and to take the edge off, and love is something completely different, and you, and never the twain shall meet. And while I knew that that wasn't true, I believed it. You know what I mean? Where it, like, you know, don't believe everything you think, or do you believe everything that you think? And it's like, I don't believe that, but I'm thinking it all the time. So when I started looking at crystals and did my research on rose quartz, it was like, hey, rose quartz is the one that you get when you want to open up to the idea of unconditional love, when you want to learn how to love yourself, when you want to learn how to love others, when you want to embrace compassion for yourself and others, and it is the connection to divine love, the love of God, the love of Goddess, clean, easy, expecting nothing in return.
Yeah.
And when I went through my past partners, it was like, I've never experienced that with a partner. So I think that that's something that my yoni needs. You know, I started to think of my yoni as it's as her own separate.
So it's union on one hand, but it's mindfulness, very much so. And I love that, you know, you're working with the crystal energies in a very cool and very root way.
Absolutely. And that's what I love about the practice. Like, you can, and that's where my focus on the practice is the spiritual aspect of it. You know, and of course, again, there's the physical benefits, and I can run down the list like a doctor and go through it, but it's just not, you know, I mean, I know it, I tell people it, I teach it, but my heart, my love of the yoni egg practice comes with how it opened me up emotionally, how it opened my heart, how it connected me with my body, and how it raised my energy. That once that kundalini started, it just raised, and it just keeps building and going. Mm-hmm. And all those things in my life that I had been trying to come to terms with, afraid to look at, or just confused about, suddenly just became so much easier with just inserting that egg and taking the time to sit and breathe and do the Kegel exercises around it, you know, just contract, release, contract, release. And it was like a heartbeat on its own.
Yeah. Fantastic.
And then that, you know, and then that kinky side of me loved the idea that I could be someplace in public, out shopping, out at work, with a yoni egg inserted and doing that work.
That's great. That is great. Oh, wow.
So I am a big fan of the yonis. And that's when, you know, I use them and research them and then said, okay, this is something that I can offer to women, and maybe with a slightly different perspective than a lot of vendors are offering.
Well, I love the information that you share. And certainly, you know, so for our listeners, for those who interest may have been piqued by all of this, you know, again, you want to check out redholistic.com, and it's WHOLISTIC.com, or brandyossette.com. I'll get you there too. And, you know, because you've got great information, and you talk about the, you know, the crystals and what they mean, and all of that good stuff too. So
yeah,
it's really
interesting. Yeah, and Tracy Givens of The Sacred Hibiscus, and you can find her on Facebook, and her store, The Sacred Hibiscus, is on Etsy. And the intro to Sacred Sexual Wellness class she co-authored and co-taught with me, and she's just an amazing practitioner. So And it's free class, so you can go and sign up for that class and get all of, you know, the basic information about yoni eggs. Tracy does a brilliant section on breast massage and how diet plays into it. There's a little goddess information as well. So, you know, and we have a couple more things in the works too, but that the intro class, we've gotten a lot of amazing feedback on it, and it was such a blessing that Tracy decided to hook up with me on that one. I think we tapped into something.
Well, you complemented each other really wonderfully, I think, in that class especially. So I look forward to seeing what's coming next.
Yes. It's going to be exciting, but it's secret. I can't tell you nothing, not yet. But within the next month, we'll have some new offerings up, you know, to expand the sacred sexual teaching.
Fantastic. Good. So let's talk about invoking the love goddesses. Do you want to start with your course, which, by the way, is self-paced, self-studied, moderated by Brandy. So, you know, you can sign up anytime for our listeners, mysteryschoolofthegoddess.net. It's right up there near the top of the most recent offering. So talk to us a little bit about invoking the love goddesses. I just want to say, I'll put my pitch in. It is a beautiful, beautiful course. And the prompts are juicy and just the right amount for each day.
You know, thank you, and I'm going to go ahead and, you know, screw modesty and totally agree with you. I love this course so much, and I'm really proud of it. I think it's something that just, you know, it had a lot of different incarnations, and I think this final result is just absolutely beautiful. So with invoking the love goddesses, I wanted to do exactly that. I wanted to introduce these divine feminine aspects to women who felt called to it, who felt called to goddess, who felt called to sensuality, sexuality, intimacy, I think is really more appropriate. So the idea was just to give a little bit of information on each of these goddesses that handle all different aspects of love. So we talk about a familial love, friendships, the love of a mother, the love of your children. We talk about lovers and husbands, but most importantly, the love of self. And so I wanted to gather all those little pieces, you know, all those pieces together and just give little tidbits, like here's Radha, here's Aphrodite, here's Erish Kegel, and that was something I wanted to do too. There's a lot of goddesses within this course that aren't the usual typical love goddesses.
You know, that's I really love. Yeah, I really love that because it's unusual, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, because we hear about the basics. We hear about Oshun, we hear about Aphrodite, and Kuan Yin, and they're all of my favorites, and they're all beautiful. But I wanted to touch upon, I wanted it to be a little wider culturally. I wanted to hit everybody. I wanted to get, you know, some of the Japanese and some of the Chinese goddesses in there. I wanted to get a few more Egyptian goddesses in there and a few of the Orishas and as well. But It was mainly, again, looking at these goddesses in a different way. Like, you know, we hear the story of Inanna and Erish Kegel all the time, but it's always about Inanna and going into the dark and going into the deep. And we see Erish Kegel as her mirror, as that shadow self, as, you know, the queen of the underworld. But when you start researching her mythology, there's some beautiful, beautiful stories about her and her consort, Nergal, Nergal. And the mythology around the two of them is beautiful. And it, in some ways, it kind of echoes Hades and Persephone. And there's even a few scholars who think that the story of Erish Kegel and Nergal was the root of that. But I think it more kind of plays into repeating themes throughout history, repeating love themes. But, you know, but nobody ever looks at Irishtigal as a love goddess. We look at her as, you know, the goddess who teaches us about our bullshit, you know, who calls us on our crap.
Right.
But,
yeah.
But she has some...
You know, I mean, you know, a lot of people are intimidated by her.
Yeah, and rightly so. I'm not going to lie, but rightly so. But there is, you know, a completely different side of her, and there were so many things about her love story that that I related to more in my life than I did with, say, the stories of Oshun or of Kuan Yin or something like that. So I wanted to tap into that. So I wanted to expose women to alternatives of love and give them enough information where it's like, here's this information about this goddess. If it interests you, here's where you can learn about her. And also here's a practice to help introduce that type of intimacy into your life, that type of love into your life. And all the practices are, I don't want to say simple. It's, I guess it's that combination of simple but not easy, or easy but not simple. They're all things that can be done in a day, but like any course, like anything, some of them are just journal prompts, but some of those prompts may hit you a little bit harder than others will. I wanted to do, or wanted to provide a space for women to be able to do deep work about their connection to love, all types of love, and their connection to goddess. Because for me, they're interchangeable. Yeah. And particularly now when, women are coming into such power as far as society is concerned. We're seeing ourselves a lot more. We're hearing ourselves a lot more. We're getting loud and we're getting angry and we're getting the rest. So you see a lot of this happening, but, you know, for me, that's something that always connects back to the divine, that always connects back to goddess. So I wanted to provide a space to help women tap into their need for self-love and to discover how they love themselves, how they show their love to others, and what kind of love they expect to get, but also have that goddess energy there. So it's not just them doing the work by themselves, and it's like, you are loved. You are unconditionally loved. And here are the divine figures that lead you to that understanding.
Absolutely. Well, and isn't, you know, I think what I really love too about, you know, this course, from the stance of being a person who is consciously uncoupled. Thanks, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Consciously uncoupled. Totally.
I am consciously uncoupled. Plan to stay that way. But, you know, as always, goddess always
has a committed single.
Yeah. And, you know, it's been, for me, it's been a very interesting, like, year and a half as, you know, when I began my Lukumi initiations and it was revealed that Oshun was the Orisha from my head. And, you know, I felt a little bad because I kind of had dismissed Oshun a little bit. Oh, my gosh. And, you know, what we find out is, the love goddesses, quote unquote, are not ever what we think they are. Do you agree with that?
Never. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. They're never what we think they are. Because we have our own predisposed ideas, biz, and the things that love does. Where you hear a lot of people, you know, mentioning pain or suffering, or they equate love with sex or lust. Or they equate love with sacrifice. And it's like, no, those are sometimes consequences of love. But love as an energy within itself is none of those things. It's not fear. It's not pain. It's nothing. It's what you did with the love. It's what that person you were in love with chose to do. Love didn't, you know, it's like love didn't screw you over. That dude screwed you over.
Right.
Love didn't have anything to do with it. And so it's beginning, you know, that understanding. But in the divinity aspect, because these goddess archetypes, you know, for they have so many different layers, you know, just like with Oshun, where one of the first things that we hear about her is the flowing hips, is the swinging, and is the seduction. And in some places it's called manipulation, not that that's necessarily a bad thing. But when you tap into her and get deeper with it, you see that the root of all that is a self-confidence, is a love of herself, is a love of love, and a lack of fear about expressing that. But in that same way, we can look at other goddesses, like within this course, and, you know, and working and talking with you, Kim, it's been an eye-opening experience to start viewing Lakshmi as a love goddess. And it's kind of, you know, because my work with her has, you know, like a lot of people's work, has been solely focused on wealth and abundance and money, essentially. But then it's taking the word abundance and really recognizing what that means. It means, you know, to use my favorite word, a plethora of good things. And then coming into Lakshmi and understanding her as a mother who nourishes, a mother who supplies. And you only do that out of love, you know, for your children, for the world, for everything else. So, you know, and I added Lakshmi to the course as well. Because that is an absolute love. You know, there has to be love there in order to give so freely, in order to supply. But yeah, but you've done some amazing work with Lakshmi lately.
Well,
I'm all
hint, nod.
I'm all
Well, here's the thing that I think is really magnificent. And again, as I said, the love goddesses are never what you think. You know, I mean, you and I have even talked about this before on the radio when we did Aphrodite, about how, you know, you have to be careful with some of these goddesses, like Oshun, like Aphrodite, who are not goddesses of relationships, of romance.
Yes.
They are the passion that gives that romance the vavoom, you know, but they're not the actual romance itself. And, you know, they're not known for great relationships. Oshun is not. Aphrodite is not. Look at the mythology.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I call Oshun when, you know, and Oshun for me particularly is that passion, but I more relate her to passion of life and adornment. I kind of align her in the same way that I do Hathor, is the passion, the love of honey, the love of makeup, the love of a good shoe. Whew. I mean, anybody who knows me, a good shoe will just, it'll break me down every time. But that kind of thing, it's like the love of the sparkle of gold that hangs down from my ears, you know, the love of Sephora, the love of Sephora. That is, you know, that, all of those self-adorning, glorious, honoring types of thing is Oshun for me in that different kind of way. But knowing Oshun and having worked with her, having studied her, having read her mythology, Oshun is not somebody that I would ever call for a relationship. You know, to be perfectly blunt, I call Oshun to get laid. I call Oshun to have a beautiful, wonderful affair that I know probably isn't going to end that well.
Well,
I call Aphrodite for the same thing. But yeah, as far as a relationship goes, it's like, let me go talk to Pavarotti on that one. If I want a relationship, let me talk to a goddess. And let me kind of call in that type of energy, because really when we're speaking to goddesses and working with them, we're harnessing a particular type of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing I wanted to focus in on with this course, which is why it's 30 days and you get a different goddess every day. It's like, here's a taste of all of these energies so you can see which one it is that you want to connect to, the one that you actually want to harness and not just kind of flying by the seat of your pants, you know. But it's identifying what it is that you want and then calling in that particular type of energy. So if I want a relationship, if I want a marriage, if I want my sacred partner, that's something I would go to Pavrati with.
Right.
Hindu.
Or Lakshmi. Lakshmi,
you know,
is a good, you know.
Or Lakshmi. Or Lakshmi is a good one.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Lakshmi is an amazing one for that. If I'm just looking for an encounter to get me through the night, that's something that I would go to Oshun or Aphrodite for. If I'm looking for a mothering type of love, if I feel the need to be nourished and taken care of, I would go to Lakshmi. I would go to Ashira for those different types of things. So, again, I think that's just that there's so many different types of love. And when we're lacking in one type of love, a lot of times we misidentify that. You know, we misinterpret it. And I think that's kind of like the key when you hear a lot of women start talking about, you know, I have daddy issues, and they, the men that they end up courting and being with are a reflection of that. But it's like, okay, you don't have relationship issues. You have parental love issues. And that needs to be healed in order for everything else to line up. You know, if that makes sense. But, And then there's also the creative love, the love of the arts, the love of dance and music, and all of those feelings that those types of artistic endeavors, that creative endeavors invokes in you. That's a different type of love. That's an expression. And when that's not completely and totally balanced in your life, you know, if something in your life is missing and you're not aware of it, we don't know where to look, so we just start looking everywhere.
Yeah.
You know?
So true.
Like, okay, so what type of love are you missing? And what type of love don't you have enough of, I think is really the question. And so, yeah, with this course, I wanted to give women enough information. It's like, here are all the different aspects I could think of, all the different types of love. What is resonating within you? What do you want more of? What do you need more of? Because what we need and what we want are very often two completely different things.
Absolutely.
What do you need? What do you want? And how can you get it? And so each day has a different little practice with each goddess that you can try out and explore. Explore yourself, explore your partner, explore all of your relationships, from your work relationships to your friends to your family to your relationships with your animals and that type of love, you know. That type of, you know, I always think that the animal relationship is always a very interesting one to me because it encompasses so many different types of love and intimacy and loyalty, where it's a parent, because every animal owner I know, their animal likes their children.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, that is their child.
It's true. Well,
yeah,
and all of this, it's the way to come through the heart. I mean, it's to really work through the heart. That's the magic of abundance and prosperity, is working through the heart. I mean, I think those are the lessons of the heart goddesses, or the love goddesses, so to speak, is to say, you know, you're working through your heart to manifest and create what you really want in your life on all levels.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think for me, and I'm guessing for a few women out there too, like, I couldn't find that pathway through my heart with just the type of life that I was living and the way that I was raised. I didn't know where my heart was. I knew where my yoni was, because I lost, you know, because I had never connected to my heart, but I had certainly connected to sex. And I certainly connected to the intimacy of being touched. And so that's how I related to everything. So I had to go through my yoni in order to find my heart. And if we're dealing with chakras and just energy bases, we're looking at the yoni, and that's the roots, that's our foundation, that's our strength, that's our sense of security. And then our heart is everything. It's our love, it's our trust, it's our forgiveness. So I think with that yoni heart connection, I kind of view it as, okay, my foundation, my strength is through my trust, through my love. My purpose here is to love and to be loved.
And
I flow with that. And I keep my foundation in that. I keep my feet planted in that. But no matter what else is coming in my life, because, you know, life throws you crap, you know, at any, and so will people at any given opportunity, and it's always a surprise. But if I keep myself grounded, breathing through my yoni, breathing through my heart, and gathering that energy together, always moving, always flowing, and knowing no matter what, my purpose is to love and to be loved. However that love shows up.
Right.
Yeah, you know, whatever way it shows up to me. Then that means that's energy that I can count on. I can depend on that, and I can depend on myself with it. And it's also energy that I can use, just like you were saying, with that's how I manifest through my yoni, through my heart. That's how I call things in. That's how I heal through my yoni, through my heart. You know, that's how I can be of benefit to myself and to the world. But so when you have all that and you can identify that that love that you're holding within you, it's a never-ending source. It's a never-ending source of energy. It's a never-ending source of joy and bliss and happiness. And it's always there, always available in every aspect of your life, waiting to be tapped into, waiting to be experienced, waiting to be shared. But a lot of people don't know where to begin with that. And so I thought that this course was a good way to do it.
Absolutely. And truly, truly, truly it is. I really liked a meme that was actually on Facebook the other day. It said, I'm not seeking another half because I'm not a half. And I think that the path of the heart creates a wholeness within us that makes us able to seek another whole person if you're choosing a partnership instead of seeking these half people. You know, it's kind
exactly.
of a funny thing. You're going, yeah, I'm not a half. It's okay.
Yeah, totally. It's like, I don't need anybody to complete me. I am complete. I need you to show up.
Right. Well, I think that's very well said.
I need you to show up. I need you to show up and hold your own. That's, you know, I need you to be a balance and a reflection of me, not completing me. That whole half person, and I think a lot of it comes too with that idea, you know, you have to love yourself before you can love anybody else, or before anybody else can love you, all the different, you know, little verbiage ways to say it. But it does start with self-love. It does start with self-confidence of knowing who you are and liking that person, and men going so far as to love that person, love yourself and respect yourself and have integrity and show up. There are too many times when, yeah, we're feeling that we're half and looking for that other person to complete us, and then getting pissed off when it doesn't work out, or when they don't act the way that, you know, when they don't act the way you want them to, or their issues are substituting your issues. And it's like, well, that's because that's not their fault. That's your issue.
Yeah.
And you're looking at somebody else to complete you and to make it better. They literally cannot do that, regardless of whether or not they want to. They're not capable. They don't have the tools. Only you can do that. You show other people how to love you, you show other people how to show up by the way that you treat yourself, the way that you show up for yourself. And if you're only showing up with 50%,
like, you're going to get 50% or less. Absolutely.
Yeah. 50% or less. And, you know, and I'm at the point, it's like, I wish you would walk in here offering 50%. Like, I wish you would. But you know, I think it's something that that every man and every woman goes through. I really do, where you're learning and you're growing to love yourself, to depend on yourself. But I think that's the first thing, too, whether you believe it or not, just start saying it to yourself. And it's like, I am a whole, complete person. Even if you're broken, even if you don't know where some of those pieces went after you shattered, they're there. Your heart is whole and complete there. You just have to tap into it. And I'm not going to lie, it hurts. And it sucks. Yeah. And it's painful sometimes. But once it heals, once you look at it, it's so worth it. It's so worth it.
Well,
to
I think
have
the
a whole and complete heart.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the healing is very well affected through connecting to Goddess, in my opinion. It worked for me, you know. I mean, without
it
Goddess.
It worked for me,
Yeah, I would never have made it. You know, I mean, just at a certain point, I just would never have made it. And, you know, in certain situations.
Without Goddess, without connecting to Goddess, without reading the mythology, without sitting in meditation and speaking to myself, speaking to her, without gathering this energy, I promise you I would be in jail right now. Folks would be dead, you know. Like, police would be torturing me trying to figure out where body parts were. Like, I wouldn't have made it. I wouldn't have made it. And there's a whole list of folks that wouldn't have made it either. A whole lot of people would have woke up dead. But I'm just being completely and totally honest that without connecting to that divine feminine energy that is the universe, that is the world, and then taking that connection, seeing it in the outside world, actually looking for it, searching for it, and then being able to connect that energy and see it within myself, see it within me. It absolutely saved my life, and it saved other people's lives. and it changed my life entirely. One of the first things I did, well, not one of the first, but one of the most recent things that I did within the past, like, 5 years, was I took a practice of an open heart that I vowed to live a year with an open heart. And it was absolutely one of the most difficult, painful, horrific experiences I've ever been through. And I wouldn't change a thing. You know, and I wouldn't change a thing.
Yeah.
Because when I think about it, it was the main thing of it was allowing myself to be vulnerable and opening my heart in that way and going into what exactly does it mean to open my heart and having to do that work. And it's like opening my heart means I stop lying to people about how it is that I feel. And I stopped lying
or
to myself. I stopped lying to myself about how I feel or the things that I want. And I allow myself to feel those things regardless of, you know, those little voices in my head or the little voices around me that are telling me that it's stupid or it's wrong or it's this and it's that. And it's like, no, I'm just going to stop talking myself out of emotion. And I realized exactly what I was doing is I was talking myself out of intimacy. I was talking myself out of love because it felt unsafe.
Sure.
And I was like, okay, this is something that I am absolutely afraid of, so I'm going to go ahead and look at it because I had to think if I'm pushing all of this away, you know, when you push out the bad, you push out the good too. The energy doesn't work like that. You know, you can't just pick something, go, I don't want that, and then send it away. It's like when you have walls up, you're keeping everything out. And when I looked at my life, I didn't I wanted it to look better. I wanted more. Mm-hmm. And I had to ask, well, what is it that I've been avoiding? And it's like, I've been avoiding love. I've been avoiding intimacy. I've been avoiding true connection for, you know, all of my various reasons. And so it's okay. And, you know, an open heart practice. I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to allow myself to feel. And, you know, and it's a work in progress. It is. But, you know, one thing that nobody told me is that once you open your heart, you can't really close it again.
Yeah, that doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way, exactly. Because once it opens, it's like, wow, I'm free. Let's go here and let's go this and let's go play. And oh, that hurt. But you know what? I'll heal. I'm self-healing. Let's do this. And you just kind of, you run with it. So, but that initial, you know, stepping into it is, it's frightening. But I think a good part for me in embracing love was remembering that fear doesn't last. It's just that moment. You know how when you get, when you're in a situation, you start feeling very, very uncomfortable and you're very, very scared and you're terrified and all those different things, or you're very, very sad. And most of the time, those feelings and those emotions are overwhelming because we can't think past them. We're so caught in it that it feels like this is how your life is going to be forever.
Well, also, and, too, because we're trained to not dive into the shadow side. I mean, I think within goddess spirituality, within shamanic work, within any type of spiritual work, you know, we are more open to the shadow side. But let's face it, you know, kind of that whole, you know, white light feels a lot better most of the time. But that's where the deep heart work occurs, is in that space.
Absolutely. It's absolutely in that deep, dark space. And it's not like that for everybody. You know, this was my experience with it. But walking through that shadow and realizing that, one, it wasn't as dark as I thought it was. It looked really dark, you know, standing outside and peeking and going, you know. But once you're in it, it's still pretty dark. And then you go, okay, but it's just like walking into a dark room. Your eyes adjust. Your eyes adjust, your energy adjusts, and you start looking around and you're like, okay, these are all the things that I've hidden here. These are the things that I've hidden from myself. These are the things that I've hidden from the world. Why did I do this? And not a judgment and not even asking how to fix it, but it's like, no, why did I hide this here? You know, why did I put shackles on my heart? What happened to make me not want to accept love? What happened to make me afraid of having love? And am I going to let that thing run the rest of my life? You know, am I going to let that experience, that one situation, change who I am at my core?
And that's the question. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I think what is so fascinating about invoking the love goddesses to kind of pull it back is that, you know, and I, again, what I really love about what you've done with this course is by exposing people to so many different goddesses and types and ranges, it's almost like, you know, like a divination practice. It's like you go through the 30 days to see what is tender, what is scary, what, you know, and it's all of it is very important information about your heart.
Absolutely. And, you know, and that was one of the reasons why we decided to do it self-paced. It's like, yeah, you'll get one lesson every day, because some of these lessons you'll race through because you're good in those areas. And other lessons, you'll have to be gentle with yourself and you'll have to show yourself a little love and compassion and go, okay, this is, okay, I touched that and that kind of stings. Okay, that kind of aches. Let's sit with this a little bit and see exactly what this issue is. And you can take your time with it. But again, it you know, I went from Hindu to Chinese to Japanese to Egyptian, the Orishas. We got some Tibetans in there as well, the Romans, the Greeks, a few Aztec goddesses. So I really tried to handle the scope, you know, to put a good a good multicultural representation, as well as a good representation of the different types and ways of love. And, you know, the activities are, you know, they range from learning how to make your own love oil to how to make your bedroom a sensual sanctuary, to reclaiming, you know, to reclaiming the lost pieces of yourself, the pieces that you've lost and little, but the pieces of yourself that you've lost in relationships, how to heal any issues that you may have as far as parental love is concerned, how to make a tea, you know, to sit and enjoy love. Yeah. So, you know, I did the kind of practices that can be simple. Hey, sit down and drink a cup of coffee and just really taste it. Here, make yourself a cup of tea and just out of all these herbs that are metaphysically aligned with love and just see how it makes you feel. You know, and there's other days where there's journal practices where you're going to have to dig deep and really look at yourself as a sensual being, as a sexual being, or as a non-sexual being. And understanding how you take that energy and use it in another area.
I think that's absolutely brilliant and so very, very vital in so many ways. And there's such a plethora of goddesses. I mean, that's the other really cool part is that, you know, I mean, this really helps people, so is there a prerequisite? I mean, I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask you for our listeners. Is there a prerequisite for this course? Is there, does anybody have to even have any experience at all? Or is it, hey,
no,
I just
you can walk right into this course knowing absolutely nothing about the goddess. It's all supplied for you. Is I designed it in a way where it works for beginning practitioners and it works for advanced practitioners. The only thing that you need to take this course is a willingness to do so, a willingness to open up to love. You don't even have to open up just yet. You have to be just consider the idea. That's all you need.
Yeah.
It's just the desire.
Absolutely.
No, somewhere, which is my word of the week is desire. So it's just like I say it, and I'm all desire. No, but but that's all you need is the desire to experience something new.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
And yeah, to open your home, you know, that for me, that is one of the most intensely beautiful things about Lakshmi's myth and her consort, Vishnu, who has come rolling into town. You know, I'm used to having the goddess voices in my head. I have a few boy deities around, and male deities around. And I'm used to them because they've been around for a long time. So it was quite a shock for me to have Vishnu arrive in January and for Lakshmi to take it to the next level. And this is what I needed. This is what, for me, this is healing my past relationship hurts and healing my understanding of what a divine partnership collaboration looks like. You know, so, but I'll just share with you very quickly because this is my favorite part about Lakshmi's myth is, as, you know, Indra, who is one of the, you know, creator gods, insults Lakshmi via one of the mystics. And in so doing, he tosses a garland that was offered to him by a sage and a mystic that was a Lakshmi garland. And he tosses it and he's very casual with it. And he's like, oh, you know, I, we really need this kind of a thing. His elephant stomps on it. He doesn't care. And, you know, Lakshmi is not a warrior like Durga or Kali. You know, she's not going to fight with you to stay in your life, which is a really interesting lesson about abundance and prosperity.
Right?
Yes. It's like he just simply withdrew. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Indra's trucking along there on his celestial elephant, and all of a sudden the world begins to die. And Indra mm-hmm. panics, and he can't figure out what's going on. And how is this possible? And how is this happening? And why is this happening? I mean, he doesn't even have a clue as to why this is happening. So as the world is dying, he kind of screeches out, you know, for Vishnu, who is the sustainer, the preserver. He's like the architect, right? And when the world is in balance, Vishnu is the god that comes in to balance it. So the world obviously was in balance. It was dying. And, you know, so Vishnu investigates. He sees where Indra insulted Lakshmi, and he said, oh, dear. Now we have to entice her back. Now we've got a problem. We have to convince her to come back. And she had withdrawn into the ocean of milk, which is her primordial Shakti power. Again, gives us very intriguing information about Lakshmi. You know, the ocean of milk, the nourishing mother, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Vishnu kind of gets everybody, all the deities together and all the celestials, and they all begin churning the ocean so that Lakshmi will rise to the surface. And eventually she does. And as she rises up, you know, here she comes on her lotus, and she's beautiful and gorgeous, and everyone gasps like, oh, because the beauty has returned to the world, right? The luster, mm-hmm. the golden aura. And she has eyes for no one except for Vishnu. And she walks mm-hmm. to him, and she takes her garland and puts it around his neck. And he is filled with this love and devotion to her. And she goes from like a, you know, person size, as we would say, right? And she, she reduces herself so that she can melt directly into his heart chakra. And Vishnu mm-hmm. turns and says, there is none that can resist Lakshmi. Not God, not human. None can resist her power. So it's a very, again, gives us very huge and tremendous information about her power and her, you know, abilities. Vishnu was only able to sustain and preserve the world and balance the world through her power and grace. And he acknowledges that tremendously. So how many men, you know, if we look at partnerships, how many men can say, I am more powerful because of my relationship? My powers come from, you know, what she brings to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And he, over and over.
I don't know how many men can say it, but it's true everywhere.
Right.
It is, yes. But there are so many things in that mythology that we can align with our own lives and our own experience of, you know, just like you were saying, like, you know, abundance, love, it doesn't have to fight. It just withdraws. You know, it just goes. If it's not wanted, if it's not treated correctly, you know, it just goes away. And you kind of have to seduce it back. You have to lure it back into it. You know?
Yeah.
And that idea of taking that energy of Lakshmi flowing straight into his heart chakra. And I think really that's all any of us are trying to do is just open up our hearts and have them filled.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And have it filled. You know, but I think part of it too is within that is also realizing that, you know, in our own ways, every one of us has that ability. We have that Lakshmi energy. We have that Shakti energy
to be all of those things, to be the beauty in the world, and to fill other people's hearts with it. So, yeah, I absolutely love that myth. It's like I could write a thesis statement on that myth. There's so many different pieces to it, you know.
It gives us, if we do not, you know, I think the biggest lesson for that too as well is if we do not have gratitude, if we do not have gratitude, if we do not understand the blessings that we have in life, then Lakshmi is going to go away. She's quite capable, and Aphrodite is that way, Oshun is that way. I mean, many of these goddesses that we would classify as love, right? These goddesses, though, they want that acknowledgement. They want us to see life through their lens and appreciate it. And it is, our lives are richer, you know, as I always say too. Aphrodite, to me, some of Aphrodite's power is being able to stand in front of an amazing piece of art and be moved to tears.
Absolutely.
Laughing my head off. I mean, that's how I know Mama's around. I hear her laugh first. You know?
Yeah.
So really to take a lot of that into consideration, it's kind of amazing when we look at the information that the myths are giving us for all of these love goddesses. So for you to lay it out so beautifully for people, so listeners, I'm pitching this. I really am. $30? Honestly. I mean, where can you get something like this? For $30, yep. Where you have the opportunity to tiptoe through a carefully curated, plethora of love and goddess. So it really is, and it's a great course.
Thank you.
I love the wisdom that you bring to it and the beauty. It's juicy too. It's juicy.
It's juicy. Yeah. It's juicy and wet and fun and just, it's very full. And every time I look at it, I smile and I giggle at this course just because it's so much joy. And it leads to so much joy and so much bliss and every aspect of it. You know, in writing this course, I remembered how much I love to paint and draw. And that I had stopped doing it because I felt that I wasn't any good at it, which has nothing to do with anything, you know?
Right. If it gives you pleasure and joy, that's the point. Absolutely. I love it.
And it's like I'm not making anything to sell. I'm not, it's like, why am I doing this? Am I doing this, for my ego? Do I want to draw and paint because I want people to tell me how amazing I am at it? Or am I doing it because it makes me happy? And it makes me happy. And I stopped doing it because I felt like I'm not as good as that person. The most I can do right here is a stick figure. But that stick figure made me insanely happy. That stick figure brought joy to my day. And it made me feel love, and I just had to recognize it as that, and that I was keeping myself from that for what it really amounted to silly reasons. So that's what I mean. It was learning to recognize those little moments of love in every aspect of my life and how I was keeping myself from it due to my ego, due to what other people had said once upon a time, my past history. And it was letting a bunch of negativity stop my growth and stop my development and stop my connection to Goddess. And once I started viewing it like that, it changed everything. Where I wasn't in control. I was letting outside circumstances dictate who I was and how I felt about things. And it's like, oh, no, that's not okay. And it's like, I love to paint. I'm going to paint. I don't care if it looks like a 3-year-old did it. I did it for me. I love shoes. I love jewelry. I love getting dressed up. I love all of that stuff. It doesn't matter if I have no place else to go today. I'm just going to do it for me because it makes me happy, because it makes me shine. And when I'm happy and shining, I'm able to share that with other people. You know, I'm able to, it's like that, you know, the ripple in the pond, you know, it's that little thing. When I do these little things to make me happy, it's like tossing that pebble into a pond and then watching the ripples flow out for the rest of the world. I can see the difference in myself when I let love into my life. And it just was changing my view of what love meant and how I recognized it and how I saw it. You know, for me, love is one glorious, but love can be that first 5 minutes in the morning, you know, in that space between awake and sleep, you know, not really knowing where you are, but totally warm and cozy and comfortable. It can be that first sip of coffee. It can be, you know, that smile that's on your friend's face when you walk into a room to meet them for lunch. It's the touch of your lover's hand. It's the smell of bread baking. It's honey, the taste of honey on your tongue. You know, that's love. Those are all of those things. And it's just about calling that energy in and recognizing it and having the willingness to hold on to it.
Yes, yes. Preconceived notions, expectations, those kind of things are really what, man, that'll wreck it.
Yeah, and, you know, expectations are, yeah, they're a tricky one. I think that's a class within unto itself is expectations.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah, yeah.
You know, I feel, but it's, yeah. It's just remaining open. That's it. Of not having those predisposed ideas based on past experiences. It's like, what's happening right now in this moment? You know, you want to learn from your past, but you don't want to let it rule your present. You don't want it to dictate your future. So it's, you know, what's happening right here in this moment, right now. And sometimes you just have to get up and ask yourself, where am I not feeling loved? Where do I want to feel loved? And I think Goddess is a beautiful way to help tap into that. And if you're a control freak and an organization freak like I am, Capricorn's in the house. Aligning
yeah.
with goddesses and with divine feminine energy helps to kind of categorize it and seeing, you know, which goddesses spark your interest, which energy sparks your interest, where do you like go, ooh, I want more of that, or ooh, I really find that mythology interesting and I want to, you know, I want to indulge myself in that, I want to learn more. You know, that's where your heart is, that's where your passion is.
That is so good. Well, my darling, thank you so much. You know, it is wonderful to have you as a contributor for Mother House, a great friend and collaborator and an instructor with Mystery School and a priestess, you know, par none. So thank you, you know, for your presence and your wisdom. And, you know, I feel very grateful.
Thank you. I'm so grateful for you, Kim. Thank you so much for having me and for everything that you do. You're absolutely amazing. And I can truly, honestly say from the beauty and openness of my heart, I love you.
I love you too. Yay!
Yay!
Okay, so now we're going to ask you for your last little bit here of wisdom before we've got to sign off for the evening. So Valentine's Day is coming. This is such a tricky holiday because you'd have to be almost, you know, completely immune to everything to not feel a little bit of, you know,
oh yeah,
expectation for it and everything. Although, you know, I mean, I may be the person screaming, you know, every kiss begins with kiss my ass. All the girls can't come to my soul after a while. But, you know, it's just so.
I'm making a t-shirt that says that. Oh,
so,
that's fabulous.
So give us a I know. Give us a goddess practice that, you know, or a suggestion for those who may, you know, feel a little embittered or challenged by Valentine's Day. What are you thinking?
Oh, wow.
Ha-ha.
A goddess practice for Valentine's
Day. Yeah, or, you know, how to kind of embrace God. Like, personally, I will tell you, I plan to spend Sunday with Lakshmi and Vishnu. I'm going to be the third wheel.
There you go.
And I'm going to be the
dad. Girl, I am the third wheel in this divine relationship. That's okay. That's fine. Any good goddess practice for me always begins with meditation. And meditation and chanting, really, if we're dealing with base spiritual practices. So whether it's an affirmation that you're kind of repeating to yourself, or the one lately, or, you know, really kind of my mantra for the year is Aham Prema, which is A-H-A-M. And Prema, P-R-E-Y-A. And you guys can look it up. But it is Sanskrit and translates to I am divine love. So that one is a powerful one. To kind
and
of repeat to
one.
Yourself.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful one. So as far as, yeah, as far as spirituality practices go, goddess practices go, I'm a big fan of chanting on Valentine's Day. Because if you're sitting and you're chanting, I am divine love, or you're connecting through meditation or chanting, you know, with Lakshmi and Vishnu, it's a way to seriously connect to the true root of love and to start opening those pathways in your heart. And another good thing to do is, as well, is to read mythology. To read those classes, you know, like read the stories of Isis and Osiris, to read the story of Eresh-Kigal and Nergal, and to kind of start enrapturing that energy around you of, you know, we create what we focus on.
Yeah.
So if you're sitting around focusing on how miserable you are and that you're alone and like, you know, all the crap, then that's what you're going to get, and you're going to feel okay. So you try and change the energy point. And if you want to come from a divine perspective, then look up the divine goddess-god relationships, the divine feminine, the sacred masculine type of relationships. On a basic standpoint, if you're having problems with Valentine's Day, I'm a big fan of seducing yourself. You know, I'm a big fan... You know, I'm a really, really big fan of going, you know, what would your perfect day be? And not that whole, you know, oh, hotels and flowers. And if I had a man, well, you don't have a man. Well, you don't have a woman. So what are you going to do with your day? So,
yeah.
And just get real realistic about it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like, just get realistic about it. If it, you know, it's you. And you're learning how to love yourself. So how are you going to show yourself that? How are you going to show yourself compassion and love on that day? You know, if it's sitting down and, you know, Netflixing the hell out of some stuff, go for it. I got a few show recommendations for you. If it's, you know, if it's making yourself a gorgeous dinner and having a glass of wine and really, what is it? Treat yourself. That's what it is.
you sit down and
you seduce yourself. You show yourself all of that love, all of that attention, all of that affection that you deserve, instead of wishing for a partner to supply it for you. Remember that you're perfectly capable and you can supply it for yourself. You know, again, you show others how to treat you. You know, our energy creates things, it attracts things, we manifest. And if you're sitting miserable and crying, that's what you're creating. That's what you're manifesting, just more of that. So, you know, you do a little something different. And if you're in a relationship, are you there?
Great reference book, and you are looking to, you know, explore goddesses from multiple pantheons, then the Goddess Guide is great. Oh, Brandy, are you back? I can't hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Are you there?
Okay. Well, Mercury, you know, he might be, you know, a little bit of a bitter love bug there, as he sends his little technology love to us. We'll just take it that way. Well, for everyone, Invoking the Love Goddesses, Mystery School of the Goddess.net, Goddess Guide, check out BrandyAusset.com and RedHolistic.com, and get your love on. Brandy is typing. Bye, everybody. Brandy, we love you. Mwah, mwah. And thank you so much. And we're sorry that, gosh, we have a tech snafu. But I'm going to go ahead and, you know, drum you all out with Circle of Women with Nalini Blossom and the Glastonbury Women's Choir. I appreciate all of you. And I wish you all the blessings of all of the love goddesses. And, you know, whether it's Kuan Yin or Lakshmi or Aristical or Inanna, Ashura, whatever goddess you choose to connect with, I wish you all of the blessings and love. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. And we will be back next week. And full moon is coming, and we will be doing a big love goddess, Radha, to join Brandy and I on the goddessfullmoongroup.com. Good night, everyone.